Don't let them in. Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always had to be. Conceal. Don't feel. Don't let them know. Good morning, everyone. My name is Andy Bowl. Frozen is about a lot of things. When my wife and I first watched it, we saw two different things, and we were both right. Jo saw the love Anna had for her sister Elsa, and how she pursued her into her self-imposed exile. I saw something else. I saw Elsa coming to terms with her true identity as a Snow Queen and the terrible damage that having to hide it for the sake of everyone else, including Anna, even for the best of reasons, had done to her. So this talk is going to be on that theme, identity. What it means for me to be a person with autistic spectrum disorder or condition, but as with many people at the high functioning end of the spectrum, I still refer to Asperger's syndrome. Being my own story, I am inevitably going to retread some of the ground that Sherelle and Caroline covered before the break. I should say though, I am comfortable enough with the terms Asperger's, Aspie, ASD and ASC to use them about myself almost interchangeably, and I will be doing that today. Not everyone is, and I apologize in advance if it upsets you. So I'm a kid of the 70s and the 80s, a time when the ZX81 was the bee's knees, or at least it was a computer, much as I really wanted a Spectrum, if I had a chance, BBC what will be. I grew up in the middle of a pile of Lego, or rather I would have done if my parents hadn't made me tidy up afterwards. Our living room when I was little had a rug with very convenient cracks in the pattern for playing with matchbox cars and Lego cars. Hiding under the plastic Meccano crane there in that shot. And in those long days, when there were three channels and nothing on for a few hours every day, as opposed to now, with hundreds of channels and nothing on 24 hours a day, my parents quickly discovered that the hyperactive little boy who exhausted them by going to bed late and getting up early every morning could be occupied for more than 10 minutes at a time with Lego. In fact, more than that, maybe even half an hour. So Lego it was for me, Meccano less so, but it was there too, until I gave my metal Meccano to my grandpa, who had spent a lot of time tinkering with it. After he retired from shorts, he had a lot more time to give to repairing clocks and watches. And the year I left school, that autumn, he would take me with him when he was repairing Palomino Town Hall clock and Bushmills Northern Bank clock, which is now Grand Espresso, from the top of my head. He was almost certainly Aspie himself. So Lego has stuck with me all my life. That is from our living room. That was fun. Took several days to design and a day to build. And weeks to get the pieces. So much so that in 2011, Jill wondered when the pile of Lego I was moving into her spare room was going to end. I'm not sure Jo realizes just how much Lego is still in my parents' house, in both my old bedroom and my shed, which also houses my music and Beano, Dandy, and Wizard and Chips annual collection. Lego, music, and comics. Three of my biggest interests to this day, and my memories of 40 years of weekly Beanos and other comics still inform discussions on websites like Comics UK, despite the horror, absolute horror, of having had to throw out comics on a regular basis at my mum's insistence. So with that sort of specialist interest, complete with a love for railways, learned with the aid of the original railway series by the Reverend Audrey, and being the son of a church organist and music teacher at local high school, having an English accent, despite being born in Scotland, sensory issues affecting my diet and touch, being reasonably clever, hanging out at lunchtime with the other smart kids, and generally just different, it's no surprise that I was bullied. It was called teasing in those days, and well, I enjoyed being in the Robins, as the Anchor Boys were then called. I only survived a couple of months in the Boys Brigade Junior section as a result. Unfortunately, the bullying resulted in me having a rare understanding, not without a little help from others such as Joe, and Orchard Bill's Carl Duncan, who was here before the break, that overreaction to bullying, fighting back, or just losing my temper and going into meltdown, and getting caught, for example, can far too often leave the bullies getting off scot-free. My head of year at Regent once wrote that I had to learn to live in harmony with others, but that's because he is so often dealing with the consequences, the symptoms. So I sometimes joke though, had I been 30 years younger, I would probably have had an SSEA, a Statement of Special Educational Needs. I was academically gifted, except for sheer inability to study. Something that I still haven't learned to this day, and something that does hold me back, and inability to structure essays, something which I can only do now in the age of computers, where I wrote the last line of this talk more or less straight after putting in the Frozen clip. And they suddenly held me back at university, where I failed most of final year, but eventually graduated with a pass degree. That's my mum and dad. My A-level French teacher, a brilliant man whose ability was not reflected in my D at A-level, commented in my final school report that I needed to learn the conventions of formal written English. He died a year and a half ago after two strokes, but I think he would have been pleased to see some of my current writing, particularly for Slugger O'Toole. So, but what I was able to do in maths class, where I think I drove my teachers potty, absolutely potty, by always being a page ahead of everyone else, and intelligence and understanding not always reflected in exam results. Here's an example. I did business studies GCSE, I got a C. I did economics A level. In class, I was getting marks in the 60s. And it was only actually when I actually did the actual final exam and got an A. All of that left me with issues of what my current level of self-awareness tells me was ADHD, which is still reflected to this day in my ability to be distracted from the task at hand. Even if I move 40 years more slowly than when my parents had me on reins to keep me under control, and 20 years more slowly than when my second girlfriend was trying to get me to slow down. Jo knows that feeling only too well. And she is very well used to me retreating into my phone or upstairs onto my computer. So, in the 1980s, autism was a kid with severe communication difficulties, typically a savant. Brilliant artist? Because my intellectual ability and ham-fisted clumsiness, that was not me. Kids diagnosed with autism certainly weren't to be found in most mainstream schools. So I wrote to my GCSE maths teacher, who, like Joe and myself, is a member of the Caribbean community, to see what the experience is like for the kids now. And here's what Marianne said. Back in the day, we just thought some kids were special, different, more self-contained. There definitely were not as many ASD kids in grammar schools as there are now. It was never a problem in maths. They were usually pretty good at it. I suppose they had to be to have passed the transfer test. Also, maths didn't involve discussion or group work so much then, and that probably worked in their favour. The ASD kids now have way more support, and all teachers are aware of it and the implications. We even have a quiet room for kids to go to at break and lunchtime if they can't cope with the hordes in the canteen. The difference over 25 years. That's scary. I'm 43. The difference over 25 years where those who either couldn't cope with the hordes in the canteen or just didn't fit tended to congregate in the library or the music department. Both were gathering places for misfits, as well as the truly talented people around the music department. So, as some of you know, Asperger's syndrome wasn't proposed as a clinical diagnosis until the 1990s, by which time I was at university. My relational difficulties would continue at work, although how much they happened was largely a function of how I was managed. I really flourished under some line managers, but others struggled with me and I with them, because I do not fit into boxes. Speaking of which, let's pick that up. Let's watch this.